Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
Jesus is not letting them get distracted. He's got a point he's trying to make here, and he's going to build it all together. In verses 4 and 5, the Lord Jesus said it this way. He says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded. Everybody say commanded. Notice he didn't highly suggest it. He gave them a commandment. What's the command? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, Jesus is teaching them that you need to stay here in Jerusalem. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be endued with power from on high. You need to receive the promise that I told you that my Father's going to send, that you've already heard about, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And while he's talking to them about being filled with the Holy Spirit and receiving the promise of the Father, they said, okay, Lord, that's wonderful, but are you going to restore the kingdom right now? Amen. And so the Lord looks at him and doesn't deny he's going to restore the kingdom or he's going to come back. But he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. That's in the Father's authority. In other words, my Father in heaven is the one who's going to determine when that happens. But right now, what you need to do is you need to receive the Holy Ghost and be endued with power from on high and take the gospel of the kingdom out and be my witnesses to the world. Amen. So what's the Lord saying? The Lord is saying from the time that I leave until the time I come back, you need to be prepared for me to come back, but you need to help me to prepare people so that I can bring them back to my Father's house with me when I come again. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, we have a job to do. We are to be living in the fullness of the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit, being a witness that Jesus is the resurrected Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. But now look what happens once the Lord reemphasizes to them, live the Spirit-filled life. Live the fullness of the Spirit of God. I am coming back. I am going to restore the kingdom. But until I come back, you need to be full of the Holy Ghost and power, and you need to be involved in what I came to do. Amen? Meaning what? There's more to Christianity than just going to heaven someday. When we get saved, we are being enlisted into the army of God, and we're becoming a part of God's ministry on the earth, and we're to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, notice once he reemphasizes this, what happens in verse 9? Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. And behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up in heaven? You might say it like this, why are you still standing here? Hasn't the Lord told you what he wants you to do? Hasn't he told you to receive the endowment of power from on high? Hasn't he told you to be filled with the Spirit? Hasn't he told you to go to Jerusalem and wait till you receive the promise of the Father? What are you standing here looking out for? Amen? Get busy. Hallelujah. And then they tell him why they need to get busy. He says, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Hallelujah. What did the angels do? Now, in John 14, Jesus said he was preparing a place for those who would love him and believe on him. And then here in Acts 1, he tells the disciples, you need to be endued with power from on high. And when he gets done telling them to be witnesses for him, he gets caught up into the clouds, amen, the cloud of glory. And the angels appear beside the disciples and they say, you know, don't just stand here waiting on him to come back. He is coming back someday. And he's going to come back just like he left. In other words, he went on a cloud, he's coming back in a cloud. Amen? Are you hearing me? And they said, now until then, get busy, praise God. So what's the message that we're getting so far from the Lord? I'm going away and I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to have a place prepared for those who have surrendered their lives to me. But until I come back, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be filled with the Spirit and do with power and be witnesses doing my works while I'm gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, let's go over here to Luke chapter 19. I believe it'll help us. Just go backwards if you're there in Acts. Turn back to your left and go back to Luke, the 19th chapter. I want you to see something here in Luke chapter 19. We'll look in verses 11 through 15. You could go down through here and see a lot of things. He starts off by, you know, ministering to Zacchaeus, praise God. Zacchaeus, however you want to say it. And he ministers to him, but then you get down to verse 11, and we won't read the whole thing. You could, and you should. It'll do you some. It'll bless you to read the whole count. But we're just going to read down here to verse 15. He says, "Now as they heard these things, Jesus spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would immediately appear." Notice that. In other words, Jesus is once again stopping us from thinking that this is all going to be done in a day. It's going to be a time frame between his kingdom coming and being established in Jerusalem. He says, "Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went to a country to receive for himself a kingdom and then to return." Notice he says a certain nobleman, meaning what? A nobleman was someone of royalty. Someone of you know, who had that kingly line. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to him as the nobleman. Jesus is saying, "I'm the king that's come down from heaven, and I've got to do some things until the Father turns the whole kingdom over to me," praise God. But now look what he says. He says, "So he called," verse 13, "so he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, occupy or do business till I come." Isn't that amazing? Jesus calls his servants together and gives them these talents, this money, and he says, occupy till I come. In other words, be occupied with this. Do business. Be involved in the things of God until I return. But his citizens hated him, and some of the delegation after him saying, sent a delegation after saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Now, the Lord in this parable is teaching us something. He's saying this. He called his servants together, those who are surrendered to him, submitted to him, and he gave them this amount of currency to use, and he wants them to take that and do business with it. In other words, it's stuff that he gave you. Jesus is the one who gives you grace. He's the one who gives you talents. He's the one who gives you gifts. He's the one who gives you the abilities. Are you listening to me? And the Lord says, "Now, I want you to take all these things that I'm giving you and do business for me. Occupy until I come back. Stay occupied, stay involved with these things and use them for my glory." And then he tells us in this parable, but the citizens hated him and said, "We're not going to have this man rule over." So the Lord is telling his servants, "You're going to be in a hateful environment where people don't like what you're doing." Does that sound a little bit like what the world is today? That the Lord has called us out and we're trying to serve him and people hate what we're doing. They hate Jesus. They hate the church. They hate religion. Well, they don't hate religion. They just hate Christianity. And this man's not going to rule over us. You're not going to influence us. You're not going to make me go to church. You're not going to make me go be a Christian. Okay? And that's the environment these guys are having to operate in. But now look what happens in verse 15. "And so it was that when he had returned," whoa, in this parable, Jesus is saying the nobleman returns, the king returns, hallelujah. The man who had it all, he's coming back. So Jesus in this parable is telling us he's going away, but he's also coming back. And he's calling us to be good stewards with what he gives us until he comes back, praise God. Now notice what he says. "Having received the kingdom," glory to God. The Father's going to turn it all over to him one of these days. Are you listening to me? One of these days, the Father's going to nudge his son and say, "Son, go bring our children home." Hallelujah. Go bring total deliverance to all of our people. Praise God. And the Lord's going to return as a king. Praise God. And receive his people into himself. But now look what else he says. And then he commanded these servants to whom he had given them the money, for he called to them to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained in trading. You know what the Lord is teaching us in this? It's important what we do while he's gone. And how we live our lives matters. In other words, even though you love the Lord, you're a Christian, and you believe God, the Lord's given you things to do for him. And when he comes back, he's going to bring you before him and ask you what you did with those things. Well, I didn't have as much as somebody else. Well, that's what this one guy did. He took his and put it in a napkin, hid it. I mean, you know, Matthew gives the same account. And over there, it's talents. But here, it's minus. And so, therefore, he's talking about here. And what he's saying is this. He's saying, you know what? How you live your life as my servant means something. In Romans chapter 14, the Bible talks about us not judging others because every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know what that word judgment seat of Christ there in Romans 14 means? The bema seat, the reward seat. And he says each one of us are going to give an account of the things that we did in while we were here in this life. Amen. See, you and I are still going to stand before the Lord, and this is the difference. We're not going to stand before the Lord and be judged for our sins, because in 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible says that our sins have already been judged in Jesus Christ. Amen? But you know what we're going to be judged for? We're going to be judged for our faithfulness to the Lord. We're going to be judged for our worship unto God. We're going to be judged by, did we live our lives for Christ? As servants of the Lord, did we represent Jesus? Did we stay filled with the Spirit? Did we stay witnesses for Christ? Did we use our talent or talents for the things of the kingdom of God? Did you do business for Jesus, or did you do business for yourself? Is what the question is going to be. Of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing over there talks about when we stand before the Lord, he says, every man's work shall be tried by fire. What? The fire of the Holy Spirit. And he says, there's going to be gold, silver, and precious stone, and wood, hay, and stubble. Amen? Anybody remember reading all about that? What happens to wood, hay, and straw or stubble whenever fire hits it? Gets burned up, doesn't it? And Paul over there says, listen, there are some are going to have great loss when they stand before the Lord because their lives were built on wood, hay, and straw, works of their own. He said, but there are going to be some who are going to be tried by fire, and they're going to have gold, silver, and precious stone. You know what happens to gold, silver, and precious stones when you put fire to it? It refines it. God's going to say, those works that you did for me, the busyness that you did for me, the times when you made the decision, I'm not going to let sin dominate me in that situation. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do what God's having me to do in this situation. See, those are things the Lord is looking at as his servants, and he's coming again. And how you live for Christ now is going to mean something when you stand before him.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.